Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
So welcome everybody to the Nerdcore. This is its interview section where I go on festival runs and check out new films that are coming out and just get the chance to see amazing feature and short films. And today we have a feature film, Every Day in Kamuki. We have the director here, Lika Tengen, I believe, if I'm right. joining us today. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Just getting through the day one day at a time, you know? but yeah, like I said earlier, thanks again for joining us today. And I got to say, Every Day in Kamuki was a pretty beautifully shot film, and I loved it. I do love the scenery that I don't believe I've seen in many films when they try to portray like the islands in Hawaii. I love the framing and the direction that it went with. One of the questions that I had for that is I guess one of the two serious ones that I have, usually I try to split between serious and more casual questions. Hopefully nobody else asks you this, but if they did, I apologize in advance just for being repetitive. But I know in film we work, or the directors work with a DP, the director of photography, and what that does is basically the DP kind of goes through frames and how certain shots can be looking like, right? It's also the director's job to kind of work with that. I wanted to ask you, was it a duo collab between your director and yourself when picking the shots and all that, or did you take full control or majority vote over it, or was the DP?
No, it was definitely a collaboration between Chapin Hall and I, but certainly a lot more indebted to Chapin in terms of crafting the image. And we did a lot of sort of camera testing to even land at the right aspect ratio. Chapin was like combing through, he hadn't met Naz before, so I just showed him Naz's Instagram, and we loved, you know, Naz's world view through on his Instagram page. Chapin was like, what if we did like a square? We did some tests and it looked pretty cool. It was pretty bold. It could have been pretty interesting, but ultimately stretching it out a little bit to 4x3 just felt, it have felt a little more cinematic. So that was the safer choice, but I'm glad it worked out. There's a lot of night shots and a lot of urban lighting and Christmas lighting, as you have in your background.
In the background, so. My editor-in-chief also saw it, I believe, in Sundance, if I remember him mentioning correctly, and we were debating, because I texted him after if he'd seen this one before, and he was like, yeah, I saw it was good, and we were kind of questioning because he can tell off the bat whether a film is like on film or not, like 30 millimeter, or is it digital? And I kind of wanted to ask, because I couldn't figure it out. He figured it was film. I'm still in between. Was it film or was it digital? And you guys just worked with the 3x4 ratio.
I'm tempted to leave. I love that people can then have that debate. Like it's cool. I mean, that's what we wanted, but ultimately it's not film. It was shot on digital, but Chapin and our colorist Abe worked really hard on the color grade and film grain to get it, you know, to this specific looks. So
yeah, it worked out because he was like, no, it's 100% film. It has to be.
That's, you know, amazing. Like, yeah, that's amazing.
I was like, hey, you're the one that knows about that. So I'll leave that and just ask it if I get the chance. But that's cool. That's really great to hear that they worked so hard to get that look, and it actually coming out like that and leaving people confused, right, and debating whether or not it was one of my second questions that I had is, like you said, you have a lot of urban shots in some of the city, and I'm not familiar with laws outside of my state for filming, right? I don't know how it is filming in Hawaii, right, or if you need to get permissions for certain areas or not. And I know the skateboarding scene, for those that have seen it, is lovely, just going out in the empty streets and just like kind of forgetting, right, like a night drive. How was filming that? Because I know I think the last shot before we cut to something like his other daily lives, we see a car coming and he had to like kind of turn back and then move out of the way, in a sense. How was filming that?
Yeah, it was fun. We it was a balance between getting the permits that we needed for certain locations, mm-hmm. and for other spots where it was a little more run and gun, skating through the street. It's like, you know, it's just gonna be what it's gonna be. It was dope to, I mean, shooting like him through downtown Honolulu at night through the like empty streets. I was driving my car and my DP was sitting on the, like out of the trunk, strapped into the trunk. And so that's basically how we shot that. And that was a lot of fun.
Okay. I'm glad you guys didn't get in trouble for the more aspect. Cause sometimes depending on who you get caught by, it can be difficult with that, from my own experience. One of the other things that plays a lot into the film that I really enjoy is the music. I am one where I usually just play my own playlist where I add songs if I find them interesting and stay there until I find something else to add, right, and then continue forward. I'm not like, oh, let me check out what Spotify has to offer in today's top 100 or like the indie scene. And I really like the music here. I wanted to ask, did you kind of make a list for the music that you wanted to add pre-production wise? Was it a post-production thing, or was it just like a production thing where it's like, you know what would be good here? This song. And then.
It was definitely a mix of both. I mean, we knew going into it that Naz wanted to feature a lot of his friends' bands in it. So this band Goonly Goon, we used like 6 or 7 of their songs. And the more I listened to them, you know, when we started editing, I was listening to all types of music, and these artists, Nilufer Yanya and Taishi, I was listening to a lot, and their music really felt very like organic when I was watching the film. It kind of sunk into it in a very natural way. So that's how we...
my camera was having issues. But that's cool. Okay. That, for me, I'd be very confused on like, I want all of these, but I can't. Yeah. And I have to select. But
it was a process, and you know, shout out to my music soups for getting a lot of the music locked down. Like 90% of our temp music, they were able to get. So that was pretty huge.
Yeah, props to them. I guess this would be my last question for you is reflective, but not really. I've kind of made it my thing of kind of making the directors or anyone that comes on kind of reflect about their work and how they might continue forward. But I know this film is like a coming of age drama with Naz kind of figuring himself out throughout the whole thing. He lives his peaceful life, but he kind of feels unfulfilling and all that, right? And I love that type of genre because sometimes you can relate to the character, right? And I wanted to ask you, do you plan on continuing this style of filmmaking or this selection of genre Or do you want to kind of branch out a little bit into horror, action, or kind of mix them all in your own style?
That's a great question. Yeah, I think, you know, before we made this film, I had never done anything like this stylistically. So that's what was really appealing about it. And I think in general, I'm always trying to do something a little different than I've done before. So I ultimately don't feel bound to any genre or style, just whatever best suits the story that I'm telling in that moment. So,
Cool. All right. I now that you mention it, since you say this is like the first time you did this like stylistic choice, what's one thing that you would change, but one thing you learned from this whole process that you would add it to your future project?
I think me and Chapin planned our shots a lot. Like we talked stuff out a lot, but we still tried to leave room for looseness and being like, oh wow, this thing is actually happening in this other way than we even expected, and do we have enough time to change, like to move this ship and change the shot and get it that way. It takes time, obviously, to set shots up and stuff. So you want to be as precise as possible before you start shooting. But that balance, I guess, between structure and looseness is something that I just hope to build upon moving forward.
That's good. Yeah. Well, that's basically been it for me. That's all I got. I really don't want to keep more of your time. We all have our lives to live, you know. But thank you again for joining. I really like this film. I don't know if it'll be out in any public domain soon for a small price, or if it's still continuing its circuit. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, we're still just continuing the festival circuit, but definitely at some point, you know, I'm sure we'll land on a streamer at some point, so just kind of navigating that. But you can just follow our Instagram at Everyday in Kaimuki to stay tuned for the next screening.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining me and allowing me to ask these questions and just kind of be reflective with you, and I hope to see more of your work in the future. Maybe get a screener sometime on your next project.
Sure.
That's been it for this interview and for this Nerdcore. This was Alika Tengan, and check out Everyday in Kaimuki, or at least their social, because you'd have to be getting a ticket for this specific festival. But thank you again, and I'll catch you on the next one, guys. Peace.